Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, if you've been enjoying Fantasy Football League, the return of Fantasy Football League on Sky with Matt Lucas and Ellis James, you'll be aware of the new Stato, Andrew Mensah. He joined us in the studio and was on good form.
He was.
Told us how the gig came about from his point of view. You may have seen Ilkay Gundogan's wife had not been particularly impressed with the food in Manchester. And John Wilkin, rugby league legend from St Helens, and a man that knows the Manchester food scene very well, made a very passionate defence of the cuisine in that part of the world. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And Martin Kellner joined us with a week of sport on TV. So here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs with you through until four here on TalkSport. Where this afternoon, Andy, tell us what's coming.
Coming up over the next 3 hours, a Forest fan reacts to Steve Cooper's new contract, Rugby League's John Wilkin defends Manchester's eateries from a footballer's wife, and Fantasy trying to read it too quickly.
It's only a show you worked on for about 10 years and helped devise, so don't worry about that.
Fantasy Football's new stato, Andrew Mensah, joins us in the studio.
He does, yeah. We're also interested in what was in the wrong parcel, and we'll cross to Plymouth, where England's most wrong player has been honoured finally after many years.
There's all this plus the clips of the week, the Fools panel, Martin Kellner's Week of Sport on TV, and hedge fund manager gets even richer. All good.
Yeah.
In Tot Macklin's American Sports Roundup. I don't know. Tot.
Who's Tot Macklin?
Oh, don't worry.
You're having one of them, are you, Andy?
I have one of those.
You're having one of those, yeah. We ain't going to start again. Wouldn't it be great if the producer made us start it again until you got it right?
I'm quite happy.
We could be here for hours.
It's a bit like throwing a double at the darts. Imagine 3 o'clock.
3:15. And some of the bosses come in and he's saying, get out of my studio. Can I make you do it once? Now, come on, Andy. No pressure. Let's see if you can do it. Are you ready?
Got rid of it. Hold on.
He's put a tea bag on it. What are the chances?
Okay. Coming up over the next three.
Oh, it's me. Hang on. I'll do the first. That's not a good start. You've got to go back to the top again. This is Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs, with you through until four here on TalkSport. Where this afternoon? What's coming up, Andy?
Coming up over the next.
No, it's all getting too confusing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you get the idea with that. It's never going to get any better. Just live with it. So,
no,
anyway, it's 8 minutes. 8 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon. I start with news of Tim Henman.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Henman has bought his local pub.
Has he really?
Yes. He's only going to work there 2 weeks a year and get paid an absolute fortune.
Oh, that sounds good. That's not.
How does that
he just
work?
Bring staff in, will he? That'll be good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know that.
No, of course you don't.
Now, where's that letter? I love this bloke. This bloke, because it's a big game tonight, the Women's International.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about that. 90,000 at Wembley. World champions versus European champions, yeah.
And Brian Linford of Pontefract, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. He's the man I always turn to on women's football matters, yeah.
England Lionesses go from strength to strength.
Well, that's good.
Oh, it's true. The USA sellout crowd. Who would have believed in the 70s, 80s, 90s? Yes, all right, why didn't you say in the past?
Yeah.
We would see in 2022 Serena Wiegmann's team as European champions, having beaten Germany at Wembley with an 87,000 crowd, bringing total aggregate attendance to over 500,000 for a tournament that sets benchmark every step of the way. Unbelievable, says Brian.
Yeah.
Great letter, isn't
Marvellous.
It?
Marvellous. Was a good one, yeah.
But he's fun to have a pint with, eh? One of those.
Kelly's been in touch. Are you having one of those days, Paul asks Andy. To be fair to Andy.
One of those careers.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
He hasn't had one of these days since Wednesday.
Yeah, that's very
fair point,
very,
Kelly.
Very, very harsh.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. I thought I'd read the intro very well on Wednesday.
I'll tell you, you read that very well. That was quite complicated.
Not bad, really.
In quite small type.
Thanks very much. I don't know what it is about Neil Lennon and green and white hoop shirts. It was odd, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You manage Celtic, then you go and manage... Well,
they did all right, didn't they? I mean...
Played all right for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Class told in the end.
He did, ultimately. But yeah. A bit of a nervier night than Ten Hag would have liked after that shooing at the weekend. But, you know.
Fair enough.
It's Everton at the weekend, they've got.
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah,
Everton,
yeah.
Everton are doing all right.
Yeah.
Now, you know they say all strikers go through a dry spell.
Mm.
I reckon Erling Haaland's dry spell will be about 10 minutes at the moment. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he only got two the other day and he got hauled off at half time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The manager had seen enough. He wasn't happy with the performance and hauled him off.
And Chelsea were good the other night, weren't they? Played all right.
They were very good, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I heard you talking disparagingly about me before the birthday spread yesterday to the Moose. But the thing is...
You did look, say you'd... I mean, the thing is...
All I'm saying, the point I was making was that if they didn't qualify, it wouldn't be the end of the world because the Europa League, Arsenal probably the strongest team in it, but apart from them, you know...
Well, they are at the moment until teams start dropping out the Champions League, which is a... Should never ever happen.
No,
it's the one thing that's wrong with the Europa League. It's, I don't know. I think
I agree with you. It's rubbish, but it does happen.
There's no other competition
Chelsea
in the
did
world
it and then went on to
that.
Win it in 2013.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right.
No,
it
doesn't.
Even
make
if
it
Milot
right,
were ever to do that, if they were ever to win away from home in Europe someday, then I think it's wrong. You know, you should have a standalone competition. It's just, it's wrong. It's grubby and it's all about money.
Well, everything in football is all about money. And I was looking at their fixture list between now and the World Cup.
Mm.
Chelsea have got 4 home games and 7 away games.
That's weird.
It's so unbalanced. I don't know. The fixture list hasn't been kind to GP, as I'm now calling him.
Who's GP?
Graham Potter.
Oh, Graham. Oh, okay. You're calling him GP?
Yeah, the doctor. Let's hope he can fix it for
the
us.
The doctor?
It's
doctor.
A good nickname, isn't it?
Oh, okay, the doctor, yeah.
I can see Graham in Doctors. I thought he was the new
He's got the look of a man who could turn up in a daytime drama.
Yeah, at the mill.
Yeah, definitely. You could see him. What he'd be in touch he'd with be a locum,
sort of,
wouldn't he?
Yeah, in touch with his feminine side. I see. Oh, tough
like
he needs to be.
We like that new locum. He never had any luck as a surgeon until he grew that beard. Now he's saved so many lives since he grew that beard. Honestly, that beard, what has he done for Graham Potter?
Well, it's done a
since
lot.
Since he's grown, it's gone this incredible run of games. He's got one of the plum jobs in world football. What about that?
Well, that's true. That's all you've got to do is grow a beard.
You've got a beard, Andy. What's your
hasn't
excuse?
Worked for me.
So, one of the things to get going on this afternoon is what was in the wrong parcel that turned up at your place. This is football related. A thrilled Brentford fan was sent a dozen top secret Premier League balls by mistake. You see this?
No.
Mickey Morrison was expecting a hoodie when he found Nike prototypes in a box dropped off by a courier firm. The electrician, 27, said, "I got quite excited. My hoodie only cost a few quid, but these balls are just priceless."
Well...
4 boxes of test balls for now. I mean, test balls, really? I mean, you know, they're sort of round, they're panelled, and they sort of one
well,
flies.
No, each ball's different, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It flies true than facetious. The one before.
So they were supposed to go to Brentford's training ground, but they went to his house in Hounslow in West London.
Yeah.
Club bosses and Nike were frantic, apparently, after one of them went missing. Thought a sticker with Mickey's address was put on the box by mistake.
Good mistake.
So relieved club bosses collected the balls after the Sun, it was, who published the story. They alerted them and Mickey got his hoodie. Hopefully something else as well. He fessing up like that. Maybe I'd like to think he got a little bit extra.
What would he do with 27 Nike test balls?
Go out in the garden and just feed back to Nike. So anyway, what was in the wrong parcel? It happens, doesn't it? I mean, especially these days. It must have happened a lot in lockdown when you really couldn't go and buy anything. So... what was in the wrong box when you opened it? We'd love to hear from you. And maybe you do wonder, if you ever got a parcel, what the other person thought when they opened it. Tell us your stories.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I ordered a pouch of whey protein once and received a briefcase in the post. It's about as wrong as a delivery can possibly be. Now, that is very true. I collect magazines about the Wild West. That was CJ. That was Steve says, I collect magazines about the Wild West and was expecting another lot from America. A parcel came up, was Tubular, which I thought an odd way to package them. But inside was a pair of windscreen wipers.
Really?
Fantastic. Nowhere near as engrossing. But thank you, Steve, for that. So keep those coming.
My next-door neighbour, he's away for a few weeks on business, and he said, would you mind taking in some parcels if they arrive? So I said, yeah, of course. First day, two arrive, and I'm suddenly having this thing of him being away for like 6 weeks, and every day two or three. But by the time there's no room in our flat, we've got a whole safe store. But thank goodness,
somebody I know inadvertently opened a long time ago, somebody I used to work with, inadvertently opened a package, not looking at the address first. And it was a number of magazines, shall we call them. There was a lot of people in wetsuits.
West
there was a lot of people in wetsuit or wetsuit material and the like. Mm. But he wasn't a diver. That's all I'm saying.
And he hadn't ordered it.
It told him something about his neighbour that he didn't know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
How often does that happen? A player who's so brilliant, you know, on the edge of a record, just can't buy a goal. The one he missed was amazing, but that is the sort of miss you do when you're on 699.
That'd be a nice penalty for him next time he gets the game time.
There was a posh version of the Davis Cup was played here yesterday, and it was won by Britain. It's the world's oldest amateur international tennis competition, the Times tells us this morning.
Is it real tennis or normal?
No, proper tennis.
Lawn
tennis, I believe. Students from Oxford and Cambridge beat students from Harvard and Yale. You know, it's the Prentice Cup. But one of the players...
Bob Lamar Broth wasn't there then?
No, obviously
didn't
not.
Didn't have a day off the bins to pop along?
No.
Okay.
No, that didn't happen. Emily Arbuthnot, 25.
Oh, yeah.
Has been playing since the age of 7 and once beat Emma Raducanu. Who hasn't?
Oh, there's no need for that, Andy. How many American Opens have you won? US Opens have you won, Andy?
None.
It's great, isn't it? How many have you won? Say two, go on. And we'll see if we can prove it. Spare a thought, Andy, for Zach Tucker, who's a decorator, he's 26.
Okay.
He likes Domino's pizza. I mean, other pizzas are available. But
you say he likes Domino's.
No, he probably
he's quite
does.
Young
but he's a big fan. He's a big fan of their range of pizzas. Yeah. And
we don't do anything else. Do
so he thought, do. Do you want to go through it all? They do wings. They do. They do quite a lot of other.
Do they?
Sundries.
I've never been.
I know you don't trouble them, you food snob.
I don't.
Which we'll discover when we speak to John Wilkin later on. But anyway, Zach Tucker, he likes their pizzas and thought the best way to get free ones was to have a tattoo of the Domino's logo on his thigh.
Did he?
But unfortunately, it hasn't worked. They're not interested.
Oh.
It's great, isn't it? Despite all the publicity, maybe that'll change now he's been on TalkSport. I've got no idea.
It might do,
But he's had the tattoo as a passport. But what's he going to do? I mean, the idea if he goes into every branch and sort of lowers his kecks, he'll get arrested, won't he? If he's not showing his thigh to people.
That seems a bit odd.
And what does the kid behind the counter, you know, what does he care whether you've got a Domino's logo on your thigh or not?
He won't.
And if he goes to head office, just pulls down part of his kecks and shows it to the managing director, he might have a fighting chance.
He might get a voucher.
He could do, but was it worth it? Was it for all that pain? Probably, what did it cost him?
Definitely
quid?
Not.
Probably, anyway.
They were transporting Britain's biggest pumpkin yesterday.
Who were?
The people who grew it.
Oh, okay, fair enough. How big was it? Was it like the size of Cinderella's coach?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think it's a world record.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and it fell off the trailer.
Oh, no.
I know. And you think, oh, no, what's the point? What is the point of growing vegetables there? Because you can't eat them.
What's the point of growing vegetables?
You can't eat them. They're too big to eat.
Can't you cut them up into smaller pieces?
No, because they're always tasteless, aren't they?
Oh, okay, well, I didn't know.
But well done to Ian Patton and his twin, Stuart, who grow these things.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think we've had them on the show before.
You've just questioned their whole existence,
well,
and then you
really.
Say,
they're
"Well
farmers.
Done to them."
I mean, it's not their whole existence.
We told you about the Brentford fan expecting a hoodie, but getting 16 prototype footballs destined for the training ground from Nike. And we asked you what should have turned up, what did turn up. Joseph sells us. I ordered an ADSL filter online, and it was on Amazon. And he said instead of getting the ADSL filter, which was $1.99. I instead received a limited edition K-pop boy band package containing CD, poster and signed book in a very posh metal box. It was supposed to be about 50 quid.
Blimey.
So there we are.
The band weren't called ADSL or something like that.
I don't think. Well, that's it. You know what? Probably not. I don't think. I'll look towards the kids in the gallery. There's a few K-pop fans in there. Look at the producers. Don't think so. No. ADSL, they mean anything to you? Something to do with, I know it's something to do with the internet. I know what the filter is.
I'm still
is,
waiting for Psy for a good follow-up.
Well, Gangnam Style. When's he
Gentleman,
coming back?
That really
Let's get
was
that
terrible,
guy back.
Really?
I ordered a new golf bag once, and when it was delivered, I thought the box was a bit on the large side. When I opened it, there were six bags inside.
Wow.
What about that? Golf bags, I take it you mean.
Yeah.
Trevor, thank you very much for that. And, yeah, you can keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ. This is going to be one of the best. Stephen from Lisbon says, I ordered an electric toothbrush online. A week later, came home and saw a massive box, a bit big for a toothbrush, opened it, Flymo lawnmower. Not great for cleaning my teeth, to be honest.
Not really. This is very obviously good. Quite common.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's bound to happen, isn't it, with the amount of stuff that gets delivered. I ordered a set of... I thought it said a set of hand grenades. It says a set of hand garden tools. I thought, you can't buy hand grenades on Amazon, surely. 20 quid, he said. They delivered a huge package marked garden tools. When I opened it inside, was a fold-up wheelchair worth 200 quid.
It seems like actually the stuff people are getting is worth more than the thing they've
that's
ordered.
Kevin, yeah. Like, it's a bit of a lucky dip. I think from what Kevin says, he did quite well out of it. They decided they didn't want it back and he could keep it and he sold it.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, keep those coming. What should have been delivered, what was delivered. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ 03717 223344.
Gary Lilly wrote to The Sun today.
Oh,
he said, yeah. He said, I'm not a football fanatic. I just like to see a good game. But it's been a pleasure to watch Manchester City striker Erling Haaland perform, always in the right place at the right time. And no doubt the golden boot is assured. Yeah, thanks, really. Yes. You don't say. It was 17 goals in about 5 minutes.
I learned a lot from that. Phil tells us ADSL stands for Asymmetric Digital Subscribers Line. But the only thing is, Phil, is it a K-pop band? That's all we're interested in. We don't need you showing off about your tech knowledge. We need someone who knows about these things.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, a bit of controversy in Manchester at the moment. Ilkay Gundogan's partner, Sara Alfawi, she has said that she struggles to find good food in Manchester. She said, I'm sorry, I'm sad to be honest, but I've found nothing. I've tried so hard to find a good restaurant, but the food is horrible everywhere. Can't find a real Italian or good sushi or fresh food. Everywhere frozen.
That's rubbish.
Restaurants here focus on making money with drinks and shots like nightclubs, not quality food. Maybe in London, but in Manchester, nothing. I'm sorry, she says. Well,
I'm having delicious sushi in Manchester,
yeah,
as it goes.
Well, I mean, we thought, so who can leap to their defence? So we thought, I mean, because she didn't say she can't get a good cup of coffee in Manchester,
that's
so
true.
We're on fairly safe ground. Because St Helens legend John Wilkin is in the coffee business. I don't know if he's got a restaurant as well, and she's been there. We don't think so. He joins us now. Hi, John.
I hope she's not been. frozen food and shots, and my staff have gone rogue. They've gone so rogue on me, it sounds like. Well, I just want to know where this woman's eating.
Yeah.
What the paint? She's painted a picture of 1980s British cuisine. Like, I'm all for people having an opinion, but when it's just so far off the mark, it's laughable, isn't it? So
I think odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's caused a lot of offence.
I mean,
yeah.
Look. In Italy, the food generally throughout the country is pretty good wherever you go, whatever style of restaurant. But that doesn't mean that Manchester doesn't have good restaurants, does it?
No, not at all. Look, let me tell you about my relationship with food, because this is important context as to why I'm passionate about it. Like, I'm obsessed with food. I've been in food and drink for 10 years. I'm a farmer. My family's a farming, British farming. I've travelled around the world. Me and my wife flew to Peru to go to a restaurant that we've been wanting to go to.
Yeah.
I've been all around Italy. I've been everywhere. I queued for an hour and a half in Naples to get the best pizza in the world. Well, let me tell you, there's a place in Manchester called Rudy's that's just as good, if not better, as the world famous Da Michele in Naples that I had to queue an hour and a half for. So you want fresh pasta, you get a cacio e pepe from Tironi Pasta Feed Show out in the Pitchodrome in Macclesfield, and it's as good as anything that you'll get from Bologna. So I've been to a bakery in Noto in Sicily just to test out their local produce. And if you want baked goods, go to Pollen in Manchester, go to Half Dozen Other. There's just infinite number of places that go toe-to-toe with the best food that I've eaten in Italy. So when it comes to this opinion that's so far off the mark, it is actually embarrassing for her, isn't it?
I wonder why she came up with this, because, I mean, they're not short on money. They would know.
Go to the best restaurants and get recommendations.
Yeah. Hey, look, you can eat bad anywhere, can't you? Yeah, look, I can find a bad restaurant. Look, I'm really good at that. I can pick them and I can book bad restaurants. But what she's describing are the flashy, really naff traps designed to get Christian Louboutins tootling through the door and paparazzi outside. Mm. And there's loads of them in Manchester. Like, if you want to go for that, go for it. But don't make huge swathing assumptions about the rest of the food and drink scene. Because if you want small plates, you go to Erst. If you want oysters, you go to Tentiblen. If you want fresh pasta, you know, you go to Sugo in the Northern Quarter. If you want a Michelin star, you go to Manor. If you want farm-to-table food, you go to Where the Light Gets in Stockport. If you want some of the best, most young, exciting chefs in the country, you go to Flawed. They do natural wines and some of the most amazing vegetables that are grown in Levensham and taken to the restaurant. So, look, I'm getting passionate about it because it's just ludicrous for someone to come out and say that. And look, I'm in food and drink. I was in the bakery on a bakery. I was there at 2:30 this morning, feeding our sourdough culture. We take food seriously in Manchester. Mm. And on the article that I read, look, it listed things that Manchester's famous for, and black pudding, meat and potato pies. Well, come on. What are we talking about? Like, how many northern stereotypes do you want to toss out there? So look, She's from Italy. There's fantastic food in Italy, but I've been around Italy a lot more than it sounds like she's been around the UK, and she's way, way, way off the mark.
Yeah.
When you were playing rugby league, did you ever imagine you'd be tending a sourdough starter at 2:30 in the morning?
I absolutely did. I was often in the scrum, just fascinating about hydrating my sourdough starter and feeding it. And, you know, laminating pastries was always on my mind. When I was going over for a try, I often pictured the ball as a massive croissant. So, you know,
it sounds like you and the missus should take Ilkay and Tara out for a night, don't you? It sounds like they should spend a culinary day with you in the city.
I'm washing my hair, unfortunately.
She's not getting a second chance, is she, after that?
We'll go do some shots somewhere if she's keen, you know, if that's what she's into. But, there's plenty of great food in Manchester, and I'm sure she'll find it. And look, it's her opinion as well, it has to be said. But if that's her experience, then, look, she won Man City and you know, maybe everybody around her needs to just give her some good advice, and she needs to speak to the right people. It's been quite... kickback in Manchester, as you expect.
It's great to hear you evangelise like that, and I think you're absolutely spot on. We could hear the passion. Just a quick one. We've got the final warm-up game tonight, England-Fiji. How are you feeling about the World Cup?
Well, there's two sides to it. One is as a patriotic guy who's passionate about a sport and wants the team to do well. So I'm blindly passionate and hoping that England will do well. The very practical pundit side of me says that England are going to struggle. You know, they play Samoa in round one in the first round of the World Cup. Samoa might just go into that game as favourites, which will surprise people. A tiny island in the Pacific Islands just has an unbelievable knack at producing incredible athletes, and they come into this World Cup with a lot of players choosing not to play for Australia but go devolved down into Papua New Guinea, into Tonga, into Samoa, which has made those teams really strong, and that just leaves England in a bit of a pickle in my opinion. But look, it's exciting. Look, it's the World Cup that's never come around. It's been COVID, it's been cancelled, it's been moved. So I'm just delighted that it's on. There's 39 games on the BBC across the network, which is just incredible, and it's great exposure.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. John, lovely to talk to you again.
Thanks, John.
All the best. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Cheers, chaps. Bye. Yeah,
we'll see you when we're next up. He can take us to one of those restaurants.
Sounds fantastic. Good.
John Wilkin there from the World of Rugby League, passionate, and I'm sure all Mancunians will be patting him on the back for that, because I think he stood their corner rather well, didn't he? Andrew Mensah's going to join us. You'll enjoy his work. He's the new Stato, of course, on fantasy football, and he joins us in the studio in a moment.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The latest episode of Fantasy Football League went out last night on Sky Max. Very enjoyable it was too.
It's very funny.
Been enjoying
really
it. It seems people generally love the old show are enjoying it because it has that nod to the old show and they're enjoying the work of the new lineup. And among the new lineup is the new Stato in the Stato role. Andrew Mensah, comedian, of course. And he joins us. Mensah, good afternoon.
I'm here, guys.
Are you enjoying it? Look, you look like you're really enjoying it.
I can't lie, I'm having so much fun on the show. I can't, like, part of me just can't believe it. Like, because obviously Matt, Luke, obviously I loved Ellis, like, when I first started stand-up as, like, one of my peers and someone I admire. But Matt is, like, literally one of my childhood heroes. Like, yeah. I love watching him growing up. So, like, to be working with them, it just feels like a bliss. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I just, football comedies, like, it's just like the perfect mesh. It's
yeah.
I don't see how I could not be having fun. Do you know what I mean? It's so great.
How did you get the job? How did it come about?
It's weird. So I started doing a lot of like football comedy stuff online, right? Because I was doing stand up, and then obviously the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to keep active, and I was like, everyone loves football. I love football, and there's so much funny things that happen about football, like, and just like not just football in itself, but just the culture of football, Sunday League, all of that stuff. So I started doing like content around that, and I think that kind of got the eye of a few people, including like the producer Spencer. And then I just came in for a meeting, and like normally I've done loads of these like TV meetings, and it's like half an hour in and out. They're seeing like 10 people, or whatever. I got there with Spencer and Matt, and like I was there for 4 hours.
Wow.
Just literally just chatting football comedy. And I kind of knew in an arrogant way, like, I've got this.
If you haven't after four hours.
Yeah. I've got this. But it was like the 4 hours just went like, you know, it wasn't like checking the time or anything. It was just like,
well, they're looking for that chemistry, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. We just connected on a level. And then obviously we've done a few pilots and that, and it's just, I've just felt like it's just grown and grown and grown.
Yeah.
I've seen the pilots and we've obviously seen the finished thing too. And you're very different to Stato, as Paul said, you'd have to be, but you've kind of turned the tables.
I bully them.
Exactly.
They deserve it. It's interesting because I was speaking to you guys off air, like when the first show Ed, I wasn't even born. Yeah. I was born in 95, right?
So did you remember, I mean, did you go back and watch some old shows?
I watched, all of them loads. And obviously, I just thought Frank Skinner and David Baddiel are the football guys. They did the Three Lions song. Yeah. So I was like, obviously, I love those guys. I saw them at Wembley when we beat Germany in the Euros. I was like, oh my God. So that, like, to be doing their show as well is a bit mad. So, but when I went back and watched like all of it, it was just like, wow. Like, I didn't realize how much of a monument the show was.
Mm.
And that kind of put a bit of pressure because I was thinking like you know, when you love, obviously, nostalgia and all of that stuff, you love the characters, you love. And I felt a bit of pressure, like I need to do the show justice and obviously do Stato's role justice as well, but kind of do it in my own way.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
One of the amusing things that you play on a lot is your cousin who plays for Palace.
Yeah.
That's great.
Eze's your cousin, but you're not, I mean, you wear the Palace shirt quite often. But
I'm a supporter of Palace because he's there.
Right.
But
so as soon as he leaves,
I'm gone.
But you're from Charlton, you were saying last night.
I'm from Charlton, yes. I'm from like East Greenwich, Charlton. So Charlton is my local. The valley is like 10-minute walk from my house.
Right.
So I used to go there all the time as a kid. And if I carried on going, I wouldn't love football, honestly. Like, Charlton is so bad. I was there when Van Persie scored that ridiculous volley.
Right, yeah.
I remember like just watching it like as a kid from like the other stand and just seeing him run and just take off. And then that year, Charlton got relegated. He haven't been back since. So I blame Van Persie for Charlton.
It was the old Alan Kerbishley thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, that's true.
Fans used to hate him and then he kept them in the division for years.
And what was your route in comedy in the stand-up? What were you doing before that?
Obviously, I loved comedy as a kid, but I just never felt like it was the thing to do. So obviously, I wanted to be a footballer.
Right,
but,
okay. Did you have a chance?
I was playing like semi-pro. I played for Harrogate a few times, but I wasn't that. I'm good at football around rubbish players. So when I'm around like playing five-a-side against old men, I'm like the bollocks. But like, like around like people like Eze, they show you what the true level is. And then I just realised I'm funnier than I am at football. And then I just started doing, open mic stuff. At the same time, I was an apprentice at BT. So all I was like making BT Sports, making like people's teas and coffees and that.
Yeah. You're doing a little show on BT, which is really good.
So
you get the players going through the old shirts they wore.
Right, so yeah, I ended up pitching that show. They ended up giving it to me. And then around that time is when I started doing stand-up. So like my world's... Fantasy football is literally the perfect show for me. Like I could have a better mesh of worlds. So I started doing that. So that's when I just started doing open mic stuff. And then I realised I was actually pretty good at doing comedy. So I just carried on.
It's very interesting because a lot of the people who've reviewed the show all pick up on the same thing, that the retaining of the original spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
But without realising that, you mentioned the producer, Spencer, there. Of course, he worked on the original show with us, with me, like in 1995.
Yeah.
And now he's gone full circle. He worked with you on Harry Hill. And he's
produced TV Burp as
well. So what, he was like a researcher?
That's a real
full circle moment. That's crazy.
We'd also get roped into sketches. There was a sketch once on the Fantasy World Cup series where a guy went on Russian TV years ago with a bear on a chat show, bear kicked off. But for some reason, this guy was dressed a blonde guy dressed in a karate outfit. So we showed this clip, and I can't remember why. Then we did this callback to it with me in the karate outfit with a blonde wig and Spencer in the bear's outfit.
Oh my God.
So when you see him next, when you go in for rehearsals or whatever next, have a chat with him, see if he can dish out. You'll see him attacking the guest dressed as a bear.
He's in goal for the
Darren Bent.
He's turned up in a few Phoenix.
The way he dived at that, I felt sorry for his hit.
So brilliant. So it's going out every Thursday night, 10 o'clock on Sky Max.
Yeah, man. It's awesome.
It's in two sections. I think up to the World Cup. And then
up to the World
break,
Cup, and then we're back in January sometime.
And they're available to watch on Sky.
I watched it with my mum the other day. She shouted at me because I saw on TV. But African mums, that's how they get down.
But no, it's really good. So you're doing a great job. I'm sure hopefully you'll run into Angus at some point. We should speak to Angus. I wonder if he's been watching.
Well, I imagine he
after all
be,
these years. And the late, great Jeff Astle, sadly no longer able to sing. But Lee Trundle's doing a good job, isn't he?
He can sing. He can really sing. Like, he's a proper baller as well. He's my kind of like baller, street baller.
Yeah.
But when he did the first like pilot and he just sang, I was like, Whoa, this guy's got a good voice on him. He's very good.
We're bringing out an album.
Yeah.
Mentz, good to see you. Thank you ever so much for
guys
coming
having
in.
Me. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Andrew Mentz. So they go and check out Fantasy Football League on Sky Max. So you can watch the shows that have gone out, and it'll be back on next Thursday at 10 o'clock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's time once again to look at a week of sport on TV. And what a week it's been.
Oh, yes.
Martin Kellner was charged with doing that for us. I'm sure he did it admirably. As we're about to find out. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. Before I start,
yeah,
lovely build-up, can I just say how much I enjoyed all your Shaw Taylor material on the show yesterday? I was listening in the car yesterday afternoon. I had to explain to my kids, who incidentally are in their 20s and 30s, exactly who Shaw Taylor is and what keep them peeled means. I've told them to listen out today for some McDonald Hobley and emergency ward 10 stuff.
He's missing Mr. Zeitgeist is Andy. Never say he isn't.
Fife Robertson impersonations in a minute.
He slung that punchline in like everybody would get it. And I said, he's not been on telly for about 40 years. Goodness sake.
When I go through them, I do realise, I thought to myself, yes, that one, I thought, wow, that's ridiculous.
Keep him peeled.
It's such an old reference.
So, a GP, as he's now known.
Yes.
The doctor, Andy's given him all sorts of nicknames, Graham Potter.
Well, he does have a degree. Well, he has a degree in social sciences and a master's in leadership and emotional intelligence. Mm. And emotional intelligence is something that, you know, some football managers over the years have been slightly short on.
Yeah.
You know, Neil Warnock. I'm glad you can name all sorts. Mm. But, it's a very thorough documentary on Sky Sports called Graham Potter Making a Manager. Yeah. And really, if ever there was an England manager in waiting, it is definitely Graham Potter. He's done everything absolutely right.
It's not the sort of thing you wouldn't jump ship from Chelsea to England at the moment.
No,
would you?
I would not.
It wouldn't make sense.
But him and Frank Lampard are two English managers.
Yeah, you are very much pushing Frank Lampard for that role, Andy, I've noticed.
No, I think, I mean, basically, he's done everything right. He's got the degrees. He's played all over the place. I mean, not a bad playing career. Mm. He's sort of very self-deprecating.
He is. I was about to say that. We talked to him on the show about that, and I saw him play for West Brom, actually, at the Valley. They got absolutely cuffed. But he does sort of take the mickey out of himself and his playing career a bit.
He does. As he says, he could play anywhere badly.
Yeah.
But other people say different. You know, Lou Macari managed him at Stoke. He's on. Jim Magilton was with him at Southampton. There was an interesting quote. Jim Magilton said he was tall, blonde-haired, had all the attributes. Whether, you know, your height and your hair colour is particularly important or not, I don't know. But but all the people who played with him, you know, they say he was a good player. He was decent and also very thoughtful. Mm. And he was a good colleague in the dressing room as well. And if you want to know what Graham Potter's all about, well worth watching. Making Manager on Sky Sports. When he was in with you, did he mention the green tea?
Not green. No, he didn't. No, no.
Ah, well, he missed three matches. It just shows how modern he is as a manager. He missed three matches when he was at Macclesfield towards the end of his career because his dog spilt green tea on his leg. Basically, this is in 2004, so how forward-thinking is that? He was drinking green tea.
I'm quite impressed the dog could hold a cup of green tea. Really. that's the mark of a good manager. Train your dog to hold a cup. Really, that's quite impressive.
Yes, well done. So, yeah, his dog spilt green tea on his leg. For the avoidance of doubt, he was holding the cup of green tea.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just... It was interesting that it wasn't just a cup of tea, because we've had sort of mayonnaise-related injuries, tea-related injuries, but this was actually a green tea-related injury. He got this master's degree that I mentioned in leadership and emotional intelligence, then went to Östersunds Östersunds FK in Sweden, right at the bottom of the Swedish league. Fantastic career there. I mean, took them into Europe, for goodness sake.
Played Arsenal, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Very small town. So small, the main street runs through the car wash. I know we did that last week, but I thought it got a good reaction last week, so I thought we'd do it again.
Yeah.
He brought in a couple of characters from England. Jamie Hopcutt was one, and he was quoted on the show as well. And they qualified for Europe, then obviously went to Swansea. So the whole career is looked at. And then, interestingly enough, I sort of segued from that onto watching Chelsea in the Champions League.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And what, you know...
Good performance.
Great performance, I thought, and obviously you're very lucky, Andy. You've got a really good manager there.
It's going to take him time. You know, Chelsea have got some very good players, but they've also got some faults that they've had for some time now, and that's going to take him time to cure that.
Now, BT showed the Greavesy documentary again.
I mentioned it before, but I thought I'd mention it again. I mean, BT showed it as the sort of lead up to the Chelsea match on Wednesday. And it's such a lovely, lovely film. And I would hate anyone, you know, who's interested in the history of football and indeed in the history of football broadcasting to miss that show. It's directed by Tom Boswell. Beautiful show. Mm. Lovely film. Mm. Norman Giller's in it, obviously, who's a friend of this show. And Cliff Jones.
He's even older than us two. Oh, Norman.
Yeah, well, he is. doesn't make him a bad person.
No, it doesn't.
I mentioned it.
Well, yeah, worth mentioning, and of course he would get all the Shaw Taylor references.
He'd love it.
He sent me a text.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. But no, it's a great documentary. It's fantastic, I think if you never saw him play, when you do see him play, you think, oh wow, yeah, I can see what people were talking about now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, with all the talk about Erling Haaland, it is interesting to see, I suppose, somebody in terms of a striker who would be a precursor.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a different
very,
era.
Very different sort of player.
But every bit as deadly.
Given
the opportunity. Rarely missed.
Absolutely.
What's the human playground, Martin, before we let you go?
Human playground. Did I write playground? I meant playground.
No, the playground was right. No, nothing.
Yeah, but human playground. It's a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
And like everything on Netflix, as we said before, way, way too long. But it's good to find something on Netflix that's not about a serial killer.
Right, okay.
It's nice to switch on Netflix and not immediately feel completely nauseous.
Right.
It's a high-budget show. It's narrated by Idris Elba. And it's basically a series about humans pushing themselves to the absolute limits. Right. Idris Elba says at the start, we humans love to play. Playing is the ultimate way to learn about our bodies and our minds, etc. Welcome to the scariest playground of all, where humans break the pain barrier. It starts with one about the Marathon des Sables, which...
Oh, yeah.
Again, I've seen a few documentaries about that. It's the 6-day, 156-mile ultra marathon. And they're interviewing an amputee, which is an amazing story. Mm. I mean, if you've not seen a documentary about the Marathon des Sables, it's well worth watching.
Right.
But there are other extreme sports that they go into over the other, the other programmes in the series that you've not watched yet. But they show you one scene. For a start, they go through the statistics. It gets up to 133 degrees Fahrenheit during the day. Unbelievable.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, they're going to have a World Cup there next year.
FIFA, that's where you're going to have it. That's a kick-off time. It's a kick-off in the evening, so it's not as hot. It's only 100 degrees.
On the sand, it would work.
Yeah.
So 133 degrees Fahrenheit. And they show you a scene in the camp where after one of the days running, you gather in the camp to sort of recoup, and then you go on to day two and all that. And the guy comes on, and says there's apparently 1,000 people participate in this. Only 40 made the finish line.
Wow.
And on this speech to the camp, he says, blah, blah, blah. He tells them all about the conditions and everything. He says, unfortunately, one of you never made it. We tried to resuscitate him. But so he just runs through the lists of people who've died on the trying to do it. At which point I'd be checking rail timetables to see if there was a way to maybe not do the next day. But it is just the most phenomenal thing. And if you've never heard of it, it's certainly well worth watching. Like I say, it's Netflix, it's high budget, so you get some great scenes of the sand in the desert and all that. And you think to yourself, why? Why do they? But
Idris isn't there. He's not there trying him. I take it he's in an air-conditioned studio in London with it and doing the voiceover.
So.
Is he?
Doing the voiceover on a microphone that's way more luxurious than mine.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what he's doing.
It's held up for the last 10 minutes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And that's that. We'll be back on Monday. Danny Kelly will join us, as always, for a bit of a deep dive in the Premier League weekend. Andy Brassel will take us around Europe. We've got anything else? I'm looking at our producer. We've got other stuff for Monday. We've got some good stuff coming
Martin
up next
Sordell
week.
Marvin
Sordell's coming in. Yeah, that's right.
Al Murray's coming in.
Al Murray next week. He's still coming. That's right.
No, it's not just thrown together.
Callum Scott Howe's going to be appearing in Cabaret. Big Cardiff's Gary Lineker's coming.
Locksmith.
Blimey. Wow, it sounds like I might turn up.
Yeah, me
sounds
too.
Sounds like a decent week. Okay, have a great weekend, whatever you're up to, and we'll catch up with you on Monday.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.